Technology by my guest, Alex Shapiro. I would like to let you all know the exciting news that both Classical Discoveries and the Avant-Garde Edition can now be listened to on your computer at any time and at your convenience for 2 weeks after the MP3 files are posted on my website. Last week's programs are posted already, and the programs for this week will be posted within the next few days. Many of you have asked me about this for years, and I am very happy that it is now a reality. Again, my website address is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. Well, I am back here with Alex Shapiro. Alex, welcome back.
Thanks, Marvin.
It's great to have you here, and we're going to go now into another topic. We've been discussing your music and various musical topics, but now about students, composition students. You're involved with many organizations. And what words of advice do you give to young composition students, let's say, that want to go into composing? What words of wisdom?
Go into plumbing instead. No, just kidding. Just kidding. No. I think it's fantastic. We have so many budding composers now. The best advice is very much what we were speaking about before Elegy played, which is be true to yourself. Be authentic. Don't try to be the next John Cruliano or the next John Adams or the next, you know, Joan Tower or whoever. They've got that covered. there's already one of them. Be the first you and put your music and your heart out there, and don't worry so much about what other people are going to think about it. Worry much more about what you're going to think about it, and is it representing you in your heart? I think that's what transmits to people. I think that's what translates the clearest, is that internal passion. So that's on a heart level. And then there's the business level, which is, gone are the days where composers just sort of were up in the garret composing and maybe a bit tubercular on that to boot. Now we are wearing so many hats at one time, you know, we should be many-headed. We have to be entrepreneurs. We have to understand technology.
Sure,
we have to do many, many things in order to get our work out there. Increasingly, we are self-published. Publishing has changed a lot. I am almost entirely self-published, and that is a lot of work to run one's own publishing company and to get your music out there. There are so many descriptions now, job descriptions, to what it is to be a composer in the 21st century, a working composer.
That's right.
So
very
I always
point.
Encourage students and anybody coming up to learn every tool that they can get their hands on, and also understand how to manipulate your biggest asset, which is copyright. You own something of value. You own intellectual property that other people hopefully are going to want, and they're going to want to use it. And for that use, you deserve to be remunerated, and remunerated decently. But the more you can understand as a working artist about that worth and about how the laws work and how control works and contracts, etc., the better you're going to be able to do. So any way you can collect information to make your career stronger on all fronts, you're not only an artist, you're a business person.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with being both. I mean, it used to be years ago, there was some stigma that, if you get into business or if you talk about money, that
how
somehow sullies the art, right?
And
boy, is that not true. I often say art is not a four-letter word. Money is not a four-letter word. They're both okay.
Well, composers write in all these styles,
right.
And they do all these, wear all these hats.
Yeah.
And you're a master of everything.
That's right.
And basically, as you say, believe in who you are.
Believe in who you are and find creative ways to get who you are out to the public.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Now, and that leads me to another question for you, your output. And I notice when you look at your output, you can see a lot of works for small ensembles.
That's right.
Is that done because they're easier to get performances?
Yes.
Because you're not dealing with the New York Philharmonic or the Seattle Symphony, maybe.
Initially. I mean, now, of course, I'm doing more things, especially for Symphonic Wind Band, which is
a
palette I love, especially when matching it with electronics, pairing it with electronics, and you get this whole film score-like soundtrack. It's very exciting to me. But I'll tell you, I started out, as I just noted a little bit briefly in the beginning of the program, I left conservatory and started in commercial music, because at the time, that's where I felt I had the most chance of actually working as a composer. composer. And for about 15 years, I did that in Los Angeles. I was doing, you know, low-budget film and television work. Yeah, yeah. And then it wasn't until I was about 37 that I decided I'd done that enough, and my passion was concert music, and let's go. Let's just start creating a catalog. And I really created one out of whole cloth. I knew nobody in the new music world. I knew nobody in the concert world at all. And I just decided this is what I loved and what I wanted to do. And so the easiest thing, of course, for getting local performances with the musicians I already knew from the you know, film scoring world was to write chamber music. And that turned out to be a wise move. I just sort of bumped into it by accident, you know, just write for small ensembles. And I was very fortunate. I found wonderful, wonderful musicians who supported what I did and played it and recorded it. And it snowballed. I also got, I became a member of the various advocacy organizations.
Important.
And that's tremendously important. And showed up and got to know, you know, built relationships with other music makers, first in Los Angeles and then around the world. And then the part about the world came from the fact that this was about 2000. It was about the turn of the century, as I like to call it. Back in the turn of the century, there was this still fairly newfangled thing called the internet. That people were really just starting to get their hands around in terms of how to use it to its best advantage. And I am definitely part geek. And I, for whatever reason, it was a good match for me. And I programmed my own website, which is alexshapiro.org.
And there will be a link to your website from the playlist on my for my show. Yeah. For today,
great.
So on
great.
My website, so that'll be easy for people
and
to access.
And once I got that up there, I figured out, gee, this is a way for people to learn about what I do, hear what I do, see a few pages of the score, buy what I do, and also link. I can link to many other places and just sort of build a community. And that's what I did. And I've had a countless number of positive experiences over the years since 2000, of. How serendipity meeting initiative has built a career where people, you end up working with people from all over the world.
And a lot of this happened, to just reiterate what you said and we've talked about today, you believed in what you wanted to do. That's why it happened.
That's why it happened.
And you did it with a
full
heart.
It's hard work. I mean, but it doesn't feel like work because you're so possessed and manic about
it. Absolutely. If you love what you do, it's not work.
It's true. And I don't sleep a lot.
Well,
we've
discussed
that.
We've discussed that already today.
That's right. We started the show in the middle of the night for my body clock.
Oh, my gosh. And I've been up this morning
since
3:30. So, but I'm going. Another 40 hours. No. Anyway, now let's go to a piece you brought today. Very fascinating. And why don't you just take over?
Okay. The piece we're talking about is Chakra Suite. And this is a great example of the serendipity of the internet. Mm. In 2004, I got an email out of the blue from a Veena player, a 32-string Veena player named Sri Thakur Chakrapani Singh. Lovely, lovely guy. Who I have never, to this day, I have never met him, but we've had email exchanges back and forth. And he asked me in this email back in 2004, having heard some of my music online, if we could collaborate. Now, he lives in New Delhi, and I was thinking, well, how do you exactly collaborate with someone in New Delhi? But I thought about it, and I went to his site, listened to his playing. I was really, really impressed.
Wonderful.
I thought it was just so beautiful, his ragas. And I said, tell you what, why don't you send me some cleanly recorded recordings of your ragas, and if you would, allow me to add my voice to them and change them a bit and create a new composition that will be a co-composition between us. And he was completely game for that. And so a couple of weeks later in the mail, I get a CD, I play it. It's incredibly well recorded in terms of, you know, clean. Mm-hmm. I could really work with it. I added electronics, and I also play guitar, so you'll hear me on guitar.
Yay.
And he also, on some of the ragas that he sent me, there's a tabla player as well. Mr. Jitendra is his name. I don't know Mr. Jitendra's first name, but nonetheless, beautiful recording.
Yeah.
And Chakrapani Singh is a delight. I think he's going to be coming to America later this year, and we'll probably get to meet and work together again.
Wonderful.
But I created this piece called Chakra Suite, which really, really mixes the genres up, as you'll hear. I honor his traditional raga, and then I take it to a few different places, including what I would consider possibly the only raga hoedown, 12-bar blues.
Alex, if anyone can do it, it's you. I guarantee that.
So you'll hear me on guitar and him on
Veena. Wonderful. Well,
doing the blues.
Well, this is the Chakra Suite by my guest, Alex Shapiro. You were just listening to the Chakra Suite by my guest, Alex Shapiro, as performed by
Thakur Chakrapani Singh on 32-string veena. Most veenas, I think, only have 26 strings, but his has 32. And that was Mr. Jitendra on tabla and yours truly on guitar and yours truly doing the electronic tracks and completely changing that monophonic raga into something with vertical harmonies and a completely different piece than what he sent
me.
And it's everybody involved was very pleased with the wacky results.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I mean, and any of you who caught the ending of that, you will be able to listen, in fact, to this whole interview in the next few days on my website. Because we're, as I mentioned, we're archiving the shows now, so
it's so
very
wonderful.
Exciting.
Yay!
But yay!
Yay for the archiving.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, Alex, before we kind of wrap down, and I'm really sad that we are wrapping
I'm
down.
I'm so glad we had this time together.
Oh,
I used to love Carol Burnett.
Oh gosh.
Oh, she was
too,
so great. Right? She is. I mean, she still is.
Yes,
I don't mean to put her in the past tense.
Yeah. But let's go right now. What's coming up for you in the next year or so?
Let's see. Well, the next thing, the thing that's coming up immediately is in about a week or a week and a half, is that the Chicago Ensemble Fifth House, which is a fabulous group of players, is premiering a sextet of mine called Perpetual Spark. And if you go onto my website, alexshapiro.org, I have to always pronounce .org so people don't go to the other ones, because there are many Alex Shapiros out there, a lot of them. There are gazillions of Alex Shapiros. So the alexshapiro.org has all the information. They're doing five or six concerts in the Chicago area of this new piece.
Wow.
And they sent me
one
of the beauties of the internet, of course, is being able to work with people and in video, whether it's live and Skype, over Skype,
sure.
Or if people just send you a video to watch. And they sent me a video of one of their latter rehearsals recently, and I watched with great delight. I think they're doing a great job with the piece, and it's exciting. It's really
fun.
So that is coming up fairly soon. And then also, if anybody's going to be in Reno, Nevada in March, the last movement that you heard of, Immersion, Beneath, is going to be performed by Oregon State University's Symphonic Band with Chris Chapman conducting at the CBDNA conference, which is a big band conference.
Oh, yeah, okay. Good.
And so a bunch of band geeks like me will be there. And that'll be a lot of fun. Also, I think, I know, actually, Boise State University is doing all of Immersion in April with Marcellus Brown.
Wonderful.
Wielding the baton.
So you have a number of things on your plate.
A lot of things
going
on.
And are you writing a number of things?
Oh, yeah. I'm
always
writing.
You're
and,
always
in fact,
writing.
There's another symphony for winds, percussion, digital audio, and possibly tenor, as in vocal tenor, in the hopper, in the works. So stay tuned.
Yeah, I will be there, and I'm sure many of our listeners will.
I have to say that Immersion, for me, was a very important musical experience, and it really it broke through some things for me, and I want to keep going with that voice. I want to keep exploring more of that.
Well, that's great, and it's a wonderful composition, and it deserves many, many performances.
Thank you.
It's a great work.
Thanks.
And I mean, and it's really you with the sounds and with the influence of your environment, you know.
That's
it's
right.
Just well, Alex, I don't know what to say other than thank you. It's been a total delight having you here.
Well, I want to thank you not only for having me on, but for all the composers that you've featured over the years, Marvin. You've been doing this, what, 15 years?
Almost 15 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Almost.
When he was just a young thing.
Yes, when I was just
a young thing.
And I am. Yeah, I feel like a young thing, and I still am.
So it's so important that people who are creating the art have the advocates like you to bring it out to the fore. And we can't exist in a vacuum. So
well, and I think, like you say, and again, I'm going to say something we've talked about today, just believe in what you do.
Mm.
And that's what I do when I do this every
week.
It's
very clear, very evident.
And
your passion for the music
is very
clear.
And I love it, and I wouldn't give what I do here up for the world.
Yay!
Well, let's sign off now that I got kind of a little, but I guess
that.
A little emotional, spiritual, I don't know.
That's great.
Let's sign off with your Below. And I think this is a composition for contrabass, flute, and electronics.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of wraps the whole thing up.
It sure does.
Why don't you take over,
Well,
Alex?
As I mentioned earlier, Below, the track from Below, if you've been listening to the whole show, you're going to recognize it.
Mm.
And the guest featured Whale, Pacific Humpback Whale, most gorgeous song in the universe that I happened to stumble upon, I think, on the NOAA site. And getting, as I often say, getting the whale into the studio to record him was a little tricky, but I swear to goodness, we did not in any way pitch correct that whale. I mean, that's how perfect that voice was. The only thing I did to that sound is I barely had to edit the rhythm of the song. I mean, it was pretty much there, sure, everything you're hearing. And the only thing I did was, because granted, the whale is in fact underwater, and so were the hydrophones recording the whale. And so I used my wonderful digital production studio in my home to clean up the sound considerably so it wouldn't sound quite as watery and blanketed. It still has, I wanted to keep the blanketed sound because it is from another place. Sure. I did not want to make it crystal clear. Sure. So, but you get to hear the whale again, which as Peter Sheridan, who is the fantastic
contrabass
flutist, he specializes in low flutes. As he said, the whale was his most favorite duet partner ever, except maybe secondary to his wife, you know,
well,
who's also a great
flutist. Back, I guess.
And the whale didn't complain.
That's right. I think in this day and age, you know, that's very important.
But of course, the whale had to be paid scale for the performances.
Yeah, I was going to ask what union, but we'll leave that for another. We'll leave that for next time.
It was a fluke
come.
getting it into the studio to begin with.
To be continued. Yeah. Anyway, Alex, once again, it's been nothing but a delight.
Marvin.
And we sign off now with Below by Alex Shapiro.
Thank you.